Hey, before we go too far, I just wanted to let you know a little bit about our app. If you don't have this app, you might want to consider getting it. A lot of people take notes. Today, I'm going to give you lots of scripture, and some of those scriptures might be super helpful to you, and it's really hard to remember them. Some people are trying to scribble them down. This app is a really great way to take notes. All you got to do is go down to Watch Sermons and click on the thing that says Take Notes or something like that, but it's right below that first screen. So I really encourage you to check that out sometime. It might be really helpful for you as you're trying to kind of remember everything that we go through on Sunday mornings, especially when we have lots of scripture like we do today. 35 years ago, my dad started having heart trouble. And the doctors were great, but we found out later that they had lied to us. And they had told us a vicious, horrible lie that negatively affected my life for years. They told us, and it's hard for me to even say this, they told us that butter is bad for you. So they said we should eat fake butter, margarine, hydrogenated oil, loaded with emulsifiers, chemicals, and coloring and fake flavor, because butter is bad for you. And for years, I believed that lie. And I lived that lie. A life without butter. And a life without butter is not really living. And I ate a ton of fake, greasy, chemical-laced muck. And I'm pretty sure it actually took years off of my life. But it did make my life seem longer. Because I was living it, right? Because I'm living it without one of God's greatest gifts. You know, the smooth, sweet, creamy, delicious goodness of butter. And now I know the truth. And the truth is setting me free. And I'm walking in that freedom. On most things where I add butter, I go with a 1-to-1 ratio. So if it's a baked potato, it's going to be 1 potato to 1 butter. It's perfect. It's easy. It's easy. Popcorn, 1-to-1. Beautiful, right? I love all kinds of bread, especially when you get the ratio right. Yeah? Even vegetables. I'm okay with some broccoli. I'll eat asparagus as long as we stick to the 1-to-1 ratio. And you know what? Now that I'm eating butter again, I'm healthy. I'm happy. My hair is shiny. I think I'm a little bit smarter. It's just, it's all good. So I don't know, what other proof do we need? It's science. I really think that whole margarine conspiracy was just a lie. And believing that lie really messed up my life until I luckily unlearned it. So we've been talking about all kinds of lies that we believe that we need to unlearn, because what we believe affects how we live. And if we believe lies, we will live in bondage to those lies. But Jesus said we would know the truth, and what would happen? The truth would set us free. So for the last couple of weeks, we looked at lies we believe about God. And this week, I want to talk a little bit about lies we believe about ourselves. So reading this week, this article, it was really weird. It was about how some clothes stores use tricks to sell clothes. So when you try something on and you go in the changing room or whatever and they have the mirrors and stuff, they, you know, like the lighting is all carefully adjusted and the colors in the room are all perfect, and you look in the mirror and you say, wow, I look great in this. So then you buy it and then you leave the store and then reality sets in, right? And some of them even use what they call skinny mirrors. Huh? It's a mirror that's like a convex mirror, so it makes you look thinner than you really are. So the reflections that these mirrors are giving you is a lie. And if you believe that lie, it affects your behavior, right? You buy the clothes. So the way that you live is based on this lie about how you look. And a lot of you have seen this picture of a cat. Remember this picture? Oh, he's just a cat, right? But he lives like a lion. Yeah? Because that's the way he sees himself. But what about the opposite? What if he's really a lion, but he's living his life as a cat because he believed that lie? So all of that to say, how we see ourselves has a huge impact on how we live. But it's not just how we look visibly. The way we see ourselves in every way has a profound effect on how we live. And one of the real problems we face, I think, in this world is that the world is constantly shoving like these lying mirrors in our face. And you know, it's giving, reinforcing these negative ideas of what we look like. And some of those came from, honestly, negative parents who said, you'll never amount to anything. Some of them have maybe come from social media. Like Joy said, saying, you know, this is how pretty you're supposed to be. Right? If you were popular, you'd be at this party. Right? Some of these have come just from bad teachers saying, you're not smart enough. Or a bad coach, oh, you don't have any talent. Maybe it's a bad preacher, oh, you're nothing but a sinner. And they just keep shoving these lying mirrors in our faces saying, like, this is who you are. And it's not pretty. You're not lovable. You'll never change. You don't matter. You don't belong. And I think at first we push back, but then we just hear it over and over. And the worst part is when we start to repeat those lies to ourselves. I'm not lovable. I'll never change. I don't matter. I don't belong. And you know, the voice that you hear the most is your own voice. And if we hear those lies often enough, for long enough, research in psychology tells us two things. One, the brain can mistake familiarity for truth. Right? So repeated thoughts start to feel true. And two, believed thoughts shape behavior. So there's been a lot of studies and writing about self-fulfilling prophecy and how it works. But here's a really oversimplified version of this, right? Let's say that I've heard that, you know what, people just don't like me. And after I've heard that over and over and over, pretty soon my brain will start to mistake that for truth. And then these believed thoughts start to shape my behavior. Right? Because if I believe people don't like me, what happens? I'm going to pull back from people, right? I'm going to push against people and push people away. And guess what happens next? People don't like me, right? It's self-fulfilling prophecy. So what you repeatedly hear or what you tell yourself doesn't just stay in your head. It eventually becomes the way that you live your life. And one of Satan's favorite strategies in his quest to kill and steal and destroy is to get us to believe lies about ourselves. So he holds these lying mirrors, you know, up to our face, and he says, you aren't lovable, you'll never change, you don't matter, you don't belong, because he knows. If he can get us to believe those lies, obviously that's going to affect how we live. And if that's how we see ourselves, we will never have the rich, satisfying, amazing, abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us. Satan is the worst. Don't you hate him? He's just such a liar. In fact, Jesus called him the father of all lies. But our father is Yahweh, the eternal, unchanging, creator of everything, including us. And he knows who we really are because he created us. Psalm 139 reminds us that even before we were born, God knew us. Not knew about us. He knew us. Titus 1:2 says, and he knows this truth, and he cannot lie. It's just not who he is. It's just not in his nature to lie. In fact, John 14:6 tells us that Jesus is the truth. And that truth will set us free. His mirror is right. His mirror is true. We are who he says we are. Not who the world says we are. Not who people say we are. Not who social media says that we are. And this kind of works both ways. In John 17:17, Jesus said, he's praying to the Father, Father, make them holy by your word. Right? As we're becoming more and more like Jesus, this is the sanctification process, right? He says, make them holy by your word because your word is true. So if I look in the mirror and I see a big, long, curly nose hair sticking out, I need to pluck that, right? Because I may not feel like I have it. I can't even notice it, but like the mirror doesn't lie. Right? And the same way, if I look in the mirror of God's word and I see something that needs to change, I see an attitude or a behavior in me that's not Christ-like, then I need to change that thing, because God's word is true. His mirror doesn't lie. But if the mirror of God's word says, I am lovable, and I am changing, and I do matter, and I do belong, then that is a true reflection of who I am, and I need to live like it's true. So today we're going to go real quick through four of, I think, Satan's favorite lies about who we are and what the Bible says is true about those of us who are in Christ. Lie number one, I'm not lovable. And this one comes at us in so many ways, man. We get left out of something, or somebody says something mean about us or mean to us, or somebody mistreats us. I think advertising tells us this lie a million times a day. I see these ads, and they're supposed to make me buy stuff, and all they're making me do is feel bad about myself. You know, beer, right? And here's these people, and every one of them is younger than me. And every one of them is prettier than me, right? And they're having this amazing day at the amazing beach, at their amazing friends who obviously love them. And I think, well, no wonder they love them. Look at them, right? They're just so lovable. And I know, no matter how much beer I buy, right, I will never be that lovable. I think social media tells us this lie. All day, every day, with every scroll, man, every perfect post from some perfect person at some perfect party, stuffing perfect food into her perfect face, you know, and it's like, she's so lovable. She is, but I'm not like her. I'm the opposite of that. I'm unlovable. And so we hear these lies all day. Pretty soon we start saying them to ourselves. I'm not young enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too thin. I'm too thick, right? I'm not lovable. And if we hear it often enough, we start to believe it. And we start to act like it's true. And this is where you see people who will do anything for the approval of other people. They feel unlovable. I got to do something, man. So if I need to post pictures of me with crazy filters that make me look like somebody who's more lovable, I got to do that. Even if I have to lie, even if I have to lower my moral standards and do things that I know is wrong, if I need to become one of those mean people, saying mean things about other people so that I can be in with the mean people, then I'll do it. I have to do it because I need to be loved, and I believe that I'm unlovable. But God's word is true. God knows who you really are. His mirror doesn't lie. Look what he says in 1 John 3:1. Look how much our Father loves us. He calls us his children. And that's what we are. That's a level of love that only a parent, I think, can understand. I remember really for both of my kids, when both of them were born, I remember holding them when there was one hand. I mean, they were just little. And I remember just looking at them, crying. And I thought, oh man, I love them so much. You know? And they have nothing to offer me. You know, they're going to cost me a fortune. They're going to keep me up at night. They're going to poop all over everything. Yeah, but I don't care. I don't care. I just love them. And that's how God sees you. The most common picture of God in the New Testament is as a loving father. God loves you like a perfect father. But if we're like super conditioned, if we're so formed by this world to see ourselves as unlovable, we probably start to think even God doesn't love me, you know, because I mess up so much. So here's another thing we do. Maybe I'll just become super judgy, you know, and I'll just point out how bad everybody else is so I can look better to God. Maybe then he'll love me. But look what God's mirror says. This is Romans 5:8. It says, God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You see that? It's God's love. He doesn't love you more when you're good. He doesn't love you less when you fail. His love isn't like limited by your lovableness. And his love is unlimited. So, can I tell you something? On your worst day, remember that day? Your worst behavior, your worst thoughts, your worst words, your worst attitude, your worst body odor, right? On that day, God finds you irresistibly lovable. And so do the people who are filled with his Spirit. And when you believe that truth, you don't have to feel less than. You don't have to try to impress people. You don't have to be mean to other people or judge other people because you are free in the truth that God says you are infinitely lovable. Lie number two, I'm not changing. You know, we've probably all believed this to some degree, like, I'm supposed to be a Christian. How come I keep messing up? You know, I'm supposed to be a Christian. Why am I still doing it? Maybe it didn't work. You know, maybe it didn't take for me. And we hear this one, I think, from other people, but honestly, a lot of this we hear from ourselves. It's like, I've been a Christian for so long. Why am I not more holy by now? You know, I really thought I would understand Scripture by now. I really thought I'd be in a constant state of prayer by now. I really kind of thought that I would have stopped doing these sinful things or stopped having these sinful thoughts or stopped saying these sinful words. I really thought I would have grown one of those yellow halo thingies, you know, by now. And if we believe this lie, that it's just not working, you know, it's just not happening, I'm just not changing, it can really mess with our lives because it's so easy to get just overwhelmed with guilt and with shame and live lives that are fearful and sad instead of joyful and rich and satisfying or abundant. Or we start trying to drag other people down. And it's like, I may not be changing, but at least I'm not as bad as them, right? Or we start spending all of our time like showing off, like trying to look holy with some kind of fake righteousness to impress other people, when actually we're the ones that are saying it. Like, it's just not working for me. You know, I'm just not changing. But God's mirror doesn't lie. And it says in Philippians 1:6 that when you came to be in Christ, God started a work in you. And he's continuing that work. And he's not going to quit on that work until Jesus comes back. And I'll tell you a secret about God. He doesn't fail. He finishes what he starts. In fact, even though you might not see it yet, just like Kristen just modeled for us today, you are actually a new person in Christ. And if you can believe and walk in that truth, regardless of your missteps or mess-ups or failures or sin, if you can walk in that truth, you can be joyful even when you fail. You can be joyful knowing that God accepts you like you are and that he's at work in you. And if you can walk in that truth, and instead of giving up on real change and settling for fake righteousness or putting other people down, you can start to actually take positive steps in following Jesus. You can actually start really modeling your life after him without fear of failure because you know God's Spirit is working on you from the inside out. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his masterpiece. That's a really good translation. We are his masterpiece. You're God's art project. And he will never stop working on you until you're like Jesus. And even when we fail, our God never fails. Lie number three, I don't matter. I don't matter. I think this one comes from a couple of places. One is something we just do so many things in a day or a week or a month that are just so like mundane, you know, that are just so routine and they seem like meaningless. And we start saying, well, does it even matter if I do what I did today? You know, does it even matter if I get out of bed in the morning? It's easy to start feeling like, man, does it even matter if I'm here? I think the other thing is just comparison. You know, like, I don't matter. I look around, I see people doing these amazing things in whatever business or society or culture or the kingdom. And it's really just easy to say, man, what I'm doing just doesn't matter. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an artist. I'm never going to be Billy Graham. I'm not making any real impact in the world. I don't matter. And this is a really dangerous lie. The lie, I don't matter, is a really dangerous lie because it makes it easy to stop looking for opportunities to matter. Right? It's easy to say, I don't matter, so forget it. When the truth is, we are surrounded by broken, hurting people who more than anything just need to meet Jesus. Or they just need to experience a taste of his kingdom. And you could so matter to those people. I mean, maybe all they need is to experience a taste of love or kindness or joy or healing or freedom or peace or beauty or maybe even just a smile. Even just a like acknowledgement of them might just change everything for them. That verse I mentioned, Ephesians 2:10, we're God's masterpiece. It says, he created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God planned good things for you to do before you were even born. And one of the reasons God is changing you and making you more like Jesus is so that you can matter, so that you can share his kingdom. And that whether that means preaching to a stadium full of people, or if that just means being nice to a coworker, or if that just means talking to somebody that's lonely, it's all part of his plan to rescue this world. And in his plan, you do matter. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, all of you together are Christ's body. All of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. And your part right now might be huge and overwhelming, or it might seem small or even insignificant to you. But that's only because you can't see God's whole plan. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12:22 says, in God's plan, some of the parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And when we live in that truth, if we can really unlearn that I don't matter and start believing what the Bible really says about our value to the kingdom and how we matter in this world, when we live in that truth, then we'll start constantly looking, I mean, for even the smallest chance to tell somebody about Jesus or just to share a kingdom sample of love or kindness or joy or community. Because God can use the smallest thing to do the biggest thing. It does matter. You do matter. Fourth lie. I don't belong. There is something in human beings that we want to be chosen. You know? We want to be part of something. And whether it's being picked last for kickball, or not being asked to sit at the cool kids table, or not getting accepted into the country club, or just not feeling connected to other people in the way that we want to, it's easy to believe this lie that I don't fit in. You know, I don't fit in anywhere. I just don't belong. And if we believe that lie, if you believe that you don't belong, it just leads to a very sad, very lonely life. Simultaneously hating the cool kids, right? While you're wishing you could join the cool kids, right? While you're feeling rejected by the cool kids. It's like, I just don't belong. And now, once again, here we are. We're tempted to do whatever it takes, right, to be chosen, to do whatever it takes to be accepted, to do whatever it takes to belong. Here's a crazy example of this. It's better now, but fraternities and sororities used to have this hazing, right? Making pledges go through just terrible, horrible things in order to be accepted into the group. And people would do it. Hundreds of teenagers have actually died during hazing. Died during hazing. Why? It's because their fear of exclusion was stronger than their fear of harm. They just so desperately wanted to belong. It's in us, man. And if we feel like over and over, I don't belong, pretty soon we start believing it. And pretty soon we start living like it's true and doing whatever it takes to belong. But the truth is, in Genesis 12, out of all the people on earth, God picked one special select family, Abraham's family. Yeah? And God said that he would bless them And listen, he would bless the whole world through them. They're going to be God's people. They're going to be God. Of all the people, he picks this one family and he says, you're going to be God's people. That is an elite group, right? That is really the cool kids, right? These are the ones that God chose to be his family. Ephesians 2:19 says, so now you Gentiles, how many of you are Gentiles? It was like, is that racist? Can I say that? So, if you're not biologically related to Abraham, how's that? You're a Gentile, okay? You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. There's no, like, you're kind of one or the other. But look what this says. So now, let's do it again. How many of you are Gentiles? It's everybody. Okay. So look what it says. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers. You're no longer foreigners. You are citizens now of God's kingdom, along with all of his holy, special, selected. That's what holy means, right? Set apart, pulled out, individual, special, unique people. You are members of God's family. So, yeah, you may not belong on the kickball team. And you may not belong on the cool kids table, and you may not belong at the country club, but you do belong in God's family. Look what this says in Romans 8:15. So you haven't received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit, listen, when he adopted you as his own children into his family, into the family, into the cool kids family, into God's family. And now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. We who have the spirit of God living in us are his kids. And that makes us family, right? That makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you have believed this lie that you don't belong, if you felt like an outsider, if you felt like you're not good enough or smart enough or pretty enough or talented enough or holy enough or whatever, I got two words for you. Welcome home. You do belong here in the family of God. You do belong here in this church, helping us do what God's calling us to do. So, man, welcome. Pull up a chair, you know, dig in and join a group. And sign up to help with the ministry and follow Jesus with us and help us help people find the Father and experience his kingdom and look more like Jesus every day. When we say there's a place for you here, right? What that means is there's a place for you here to worship with us and to serve with us and to grow with us and to continue the work of Jesus with us, to announce his kingdom coming, to invite people into that kingdom. And to actually be part of his kingdom coming. So I don't know what they told you on the dodgeball team, you know. I don't know if you got a letter from the country club. I don't know if you got pushed away from the kids' table. We want you. We want you. We need you. We love you. And I'll be honest, it's not just because you're so lovable. It's because we're all full of the spirit of the God who is love. And this thing that unites us is so much bigger than anything that divides us. Because the thing that unites us is Jesus. And he says, and in his spirit, we say, you are lovable, and you are changing, and you do matter, and you do belong in God's family. And that's the truth. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge it's dark out there, and this world is constantly trying to make us feel like we don't matter, like we don't belong, like we're not loved, like we're not changing. It's pounding us all the time, and if we're not careful, we start hearing it more and more, and pretty soon we're saying it, and then pretty soon we're believing it. And then pretty soon we're acting like it's true. So God, will you just help us, remind us to look to the truth is in your word. The truth is in Jesus. If we weren't lovable, why did Jesus come for us? Right? Help us to seek the truth. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, as lovable, moldable, like important people who really belong in your family, who really belong together. Help us see ourselves the way you see us. And help us to live in the belief. Help us to understand who you say we are, to really believe it, and to live like it's true. In Jesus' name. Amen.